What's happening, y'all? This is Todd Wilson with another episode of Elevate Your Game. Actually, our first episode in 2025. And today, I have a very special guest, husband, father. He's a legend in the IE, Pepperdine alum, ran his own AAU program. He's a coach at Alamany High School on the girls' side now, Mr. Marvin Lee.
Man, hey, what's up, Todd? Thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
We finally got it done, man. We've been talking about this for a minute.
Yeah. I'll be out the way, out of sight, out of mind. I'll be trying.
Nah, man. Thank you for blessing me with this, man. And, you know, it's cool, man. Somebody who I looked up to growing up in the IE. And then we met years ago hooping at 360 Health Club.
Yeah, right after Pepperdine, during Pepperdine.
Yep. Yeah. And then just reconnecting with his daughter is in core now. And
the kids, shoot, helped me. Got me out, moved to the Valley.
Yeah.
Like seeing core and everything he was doing and the kids. And I said, shoot, it's right up our alley right here, my daughter. And then got the second one coming. Part of this, going to continue it. So, thank you for even having me thinking about moving back out this way.
I appreciate
it. So, it's been working. So, now everything's going this way. So
absolutely, man. We start the show off with the Wall of Hoop movies. Your favorite hoop movie of all time and why?
Oh, man, it was tough. He had one over here, Finding Forrester, but I went with, this is Above the Rim. That's pure, and that's what hoop is to me. I don't know. It's a lot of people think hoop is something that's big and mainstream and all this. Big Mac and fries to me, it's McDonald's. So
yeah.
It's gritty, it's fun, it's just that movie. Me and my cousin watching it every day growing up, trying to. It's funny because we start really learning how to work out.
Right, that movie, from watching that.
Oh, get up in the morning, run outside, and do the 6 in the morning. Basically, get up and do the push-ups and sit-ups and all that. So, it was a good fun one. It was one of those ones. So, all of them on here though, I've pretty much seen.
Yeah.
A handful of times. So.
Yep. No, true hoopers, man. They know. Did you ever play for Boontz?
Nah, we didn't play for no Boontz. I wasn't playing. That must have been some back east thing. We didn't play for no Boontz, though.
Right.
Cold,
hard, they walling. Ain't nobody throwing nothing at me like that.
Nothing at me. Nah, we didn't play for it. Was a lot of ones and a lot of 21s, though.
Right.
But it wasn't no Boontz.
Man. So when did you fall in love with basketball?
Funny, I don't even know. Hmm. Just been there. My daddy ran a gym in Riverside since I was at, and there was always a park, always a gym right there we was at. So it's never, I told my daughter, I said, I don't even know when I learned how to pivot.
You don't remember.
I don't even remember. It's just, hoop is just something that you go to school, you go to school or you watch TV, and whatever you do every day that's what we did.
Yeah.
So it's, Yeah, that's a good question. It's something that it's just there.
It's just there. A lot of people answer that way. I didn't start playing until I was 11.
Oh yeah, not
that's literally my first jersey right there. Ever.
Yeah, see, 11, my 11, I was steamrolling around here.
Right. I was a late bloomer to it, and I know the moment I fell in love with it was when I learned to do the AI's crossover. My cousin, he was my across the street neighbor, and he taught me how to do the AI cross.
You let it hang?
Man, what? It's still nasty. It's still, you can't do nothing about it. It's practiced way too long, too many times in the driveway. So, that's dope to wake up with this ball in your hand, to be born with this in your hand, man. I can only imagine, I love it so much now. How much more would I love it first 11 years?
Man, that was what was fun. Of course, video games is fun and all that, but you can only do that late at night or I don't know when, but what else are you going to do? You going to play basketball or you going to play football?
Right.
Probably play both all the way up until you figure out which one you was better at.
Yep. And so your dad ran a gym or a rec center. Mm-hmm. and so is he the one who taught you how to do everything?
Yeah, he taught me everything. And then, I just picked up and he put me in the right situation to pick up on some of the newer crosses and the newer stuff, but it was him and he always had kids around. I think about he always had kids around working on their game or doing this. So I remember when I really remember how when the don't know, people might remember, RCC was having them dudes from DC come out. Mm. That's when we really learned the high cross and really seeing those guys. And my dad was running, helping with the Slam and Jam League, and that's when Izzy Washington, Kool-Aid, came out there and did the Slam and Jam League. They had them dudes playing, and then RCC had them, had the, like I said, the DC dudes and all that. So he put me around all that, along with, but he knew he's from North Carolina, so they know how to play ball in North Carolina. He went, you know, Chapel Hill, you know, and all that stuff. Is so it was something that we just did, get up, go to the park, do this, do that. But yeah, he's the one who taught. Yeah, he taught it, and then he put me around people.
Yeah. When did it get really competitive for you? When did it like take like, oh man, this is real?
What do you see? That's the problem I have right now. Like, what does real mean to everybody? Like, real to me is, it's always been real. Like,
Talk about it.
You can go to the league. You can, like,
yeah.
It's always been real. Like I was the person that called, oh, you're too serious. Like, person walking around the park all the time. Like, it's always been like, it's always, it's never been a game. Like, it's never been like, oh, this is for fun or this is for fake. Like,
no,
this is what we're doing.
No, and I asked that for a reason because there's kids. I see kids today and whole bunch of different situations. I got this kid who is dumb committed. He don't do anything. His mom has to force him to hang out with his friends because all he wants to do is hoop.
Yeah.
Talk basketball, play basketball, and oh, I guess I got to do school since I got to get A's. Yeah. But that's all he wants. His mom has to force him to hang out with friends and have a social life.
Tell my mom did to me in the fourth grade. Hated it. But only time I ever been camping, only time I ever shot an arch, only time, she put me in Boy Scouts for a year. I'm the only kid really riding the bike to the Boy Scout thing and doing all the little, like, what is this? What do you have? only black kid in the thing? Like, but it was the best. Like, when I look back, it was stuff I never did again. I never shot a bow and arrow, never been camping again, never learned to tie some knots and do, but she was, it was all because she said, like, dude, you gotta do something else. Like, you gotta integrate with some other than the other boy down the street. Like, you have to be, like, basketball just can't be, you have to learn some of the little parts, and like, you know, and that helped. So now I got to, you know, fast forward, get the Pepperdine, whatever. Or I can hang with anybody. Like, all through high school, I can hang with anybody. We're the part of town, but it was just that little, she knew that little transition. But it never was, and I didn't have to stay with it. I didn't do it longer. It was nothing but, because my dad always told her, like, you know, you got to treat, if he was a, you know, get a hobby, like do this and all that. She told my mom, like, if he was a musician or something, nobody would be talking like this.
Yep.
So my mom always said, don't use basketball to punish. Don't make him do the stuff he don't want to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like.
No, that's real. I always look at, that's why I started Chorus. Yeah. Like, man, people who sing got choir every single day.
Man.
Why don't people day, who have hoop every day? Like, this thing. This has been a part of your life, and it's taking you everywhere you've gone on your journey, right?
Everywhere.
You can't, and that's what it's about. It's like using whatever tool somebody has a passion for and teaching them life. And yes, there's a balance for sure. Like,
yes.
The Boy Scouts was probably good for you. I don't know if you played other sports every now and again.
Yeah, football.
Yeah, so you play football just to balance things out. I think that's important to find. I asked one of our students this yesterday, a girl who plays, I said, hey, what else do you do besides basketball? Like, I like to get into that. Like, oh, I saw she had Pokemon on her back. I'm like, oh, you like Pokemon? You in the anime, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. And then it sparked a whole conversation and passion. Like, cool, it's good to have that balance.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, somebody loves.
Use that.
So.
Man, basketball, rap music, and.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, like,
that's what we grew up in. That hoop is, you wake up in the morning, that's all, you know, you do, and then you figure out that journey along the way and figure out why you was used, what the reason behind it.
Yeah. So you're playing in the Slam and Jam League, and then did you play AAU ball as well?
The Slam and Jam, I was a kid. I didn't play in the Slam and Jam League. That was my older brother, my dad. And that was like in, like, see, I've seen everything in the IE, I guess, 92 on. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, they came out there, Kool-Aid came out there and pretty much changed the culture. AAU changed the whole everything, which he did a good job. I kind of just went along his way when I ended up doing it, but it was something that, so I played just the regular stuff. You play up until it was a little different than it is now. I guess you play until you're the best in the parking wreck and NJB. My daddy played the parking wreck on Saturdays, NJB on Sundays.
Yeah.
You know, so you get There's one league which is a little bit different. They run a little more, they run plays to give them all that. Mm-hmm. You use a little ball and it's a little different. And on this league, it's the, you can press, you can
we
play whatever with the big ball.
Basketball
and
NBA. Yeah, you that ball.
So that was that. And then on this, you play five quarters. It's, but you think about it, it's right for the developmental. Like it's good and teach you how to play basketball. And then you have Park and Rec where it's, the, it's everybody in the neighborhood. But that's when, you know, there was no a whole bunch of AAU teams, so everybody played at that time. Yep. Up until you get become the best in that. And then I think I was in like about sixth grade or so, they start, Pat Bear start grabbing me, start coming to, you know, saw me play in Vegas somewhere or play on the little team that went. And the rest was history from there as far as, so I started running around with him. They start picking me up from Riverside, playing with him, and signed to the LA dudes and started getting me. And
you remember who was on your teams back then?
Oh, man. I think I know one of the team with us, we had a seventh grade team. I played on the LA team and the Orange County team. LA team had Hassan Adams. It's funny, I tell people all the time, Hassan was probably, he was one of the, he didn't really get all a bunch of burn, but he was the most, he the one who kind of damn near taught me how to dunk. He probably don't remember. He's the, like, they was throwing it off the front, at the front, like in the front of the rim. Like, just go, just go catch it. So then we start just learning how to go catch it off the front. Like, he wasn't doing that in Riverside, where we was at, like. So that was, but Hassan Adams was on that team, and we had, like, Mike Strawberry, this dude Darius Sanders, who went to Oregon for football, like, he was loaded, 6'5", 6'4", 6'6", D'Angelo Collins.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it was then, like, it was, you, then somebody get you, you played on these teams, and then the Orange County team played on that, dude was like, just doing that, all that whole team from, like, the dude named Travis Smith to, you know, Lenny Collins, they all played in the WCC, or they played, we was AP on that team, all eight of us, all of eight of us played Division One basketball on that team. Like, like, you know what I mean? WCC, one went to the Ivy, somebody went to the Big West.
Yeah.
But it's like, you were the best of the best in your little region. Yeah. Come together. You know what I mean? You master NJB All-Stars. You master Park and Rec All-Stars. But it was a, it's an order. You master your park first. You master the neighborhood. Like, you have to move up. You can't.
No, that's, man, you're speaking my language, man. You're the first person actually, like, that's the era I came up in. Like, we were my NJB team, then we made NJB All-Stars. That All-Star team turned into the club team, and we stayed together pretty much all through high school.
That's how, from that club, from that little NJB All-Stars team, I got picked up from the Pat Bears, and you know what I mean? Like, he had the Nike, he was the Nike man at the time. Like, he was, everything was, like, so it was just an order, and you knew it wasn't every weekend you playing, and it's, I mean, nothing, if you know how, playing in the park every weekend, you're playing with your friends, like it's, you know, but then if you were good, then you got to play outside of the area in LA, Orange County. It was, so I get a hard time now. It's hard for me to do it. My daddy told me, like, you know, it's fee-based now and everybody can play and it's nice and happy and fun, so.
You got to find a competitive spot. You got to find that edge, so you find it. Yeah. Going into high school, so King.
Poly first.
You went to Poly first, okay. Didn't know.
King did not exist.
Oh, okay.
It was nothing but land over there. But I was one of the few people that moved. They called up the hill in Riverside. So we moved up the hill to Orange Crest, brand new little area. Mm-hmm. We was from down the hillside. My dad ran the park down there. And he started working at City Hall. Long story short, moved up the hill. I was going to Poly.
Okay.
Was freshman All-State freshman. Had a good year there. Sophomore year. Freshman year led Poly the first playoffs they had in years, 15, 20 years, whatever, because that's when top three went over and there was nothing else to it. Mm. You know what I mean? We came in like second or third. So, but it was like a, even going back to that, I didn't pick my school. I didn't know, my daddy said, you're going here. Like, I thought I was going to go to North. I thought I was going to go, no, you're going to go here. You're going to play for, you know what I mean? So, did that for two. Everything I did was exactly what I was supposed to do. And then it's time to move. Whatever happened, you know. Different reasons at the school, different things, but it was time to move, so I picked the next one.
Different reasons?
School.
Why'd you move?
And it's the same reason. It's Riverside, some parts of Riverside didn't want to see, doesn't like that type, didn't want that, all that, didn't want all of me.
cultural differences.
Cultural differences. And I was, you know, I was, Allen Iverson's my favorite player at the time.
Uh-huh.
Like basketball was played to me a different way. Perhaps we talked about this forever. I knew how we was going to get these buckets. I knew how it was going to happen. I knew everything. Like,
yeah.
So, you know, I became a, you know, I didn't know about, that's when I learned about, what's that called, booster clubs and, you know, parent involvement.
So it's the same thing that happened to Brady Burris.
Exact same thing.
Oh, no, so we can talk happened, about it.
Exact same
it's
thing.
That's crazy.
Exact same thing happened to Brady. So exact same thing, like nothing different. So when it when it happened, I said, oh, this is Vice. This is, I was on the newspaper, like first, Press Enterprise had me, you know, front page, like transfer, like it was a big deal. Like,
yeah. And so coach, you went to King the first year the King opened, or
was... went to King. So I did those two. So I left halfway. My sister was at King her freshman year, and so I went there. They had JV that year, so I went there after the season was over. So I went there and I played the first. So I ended up playing that my junior year there. And the plan was to go there and get 8 points a quarter, 32. We did just that. Then me and JS Nash was fighting all year for the state scoring.
You and
not JS Nash, not just the county, but we was fighting for the state scoring every day. He get 38, I get 40, I get 40, he get 44.
And y'all was, you was watching it?
Watching, it was, cause every Tuesday, that's when they printed it out, every Tuesday.
Yeah.
Me and JS went to middle school together.
Okay.
Coach McAllister, thank God, the best coach, probably one of the best coaches I ever had. Rancho Verde Middle School, I went there for sixth grade, 1 year only. He put me, I was only sixth grade to ever make the team. That's when we played different high schools and played different middle schools, I mean. And he said that, they were like, why you put a sixth grade and a seventh grade on the team? He said, those are the two that's gonna play Division I basketball. And it was me and J.S. Nash. He went to Oregon State, I ended up going to Pepperdine. You know what I'm saying? But it was, we was going back and forth all year. It was this situation, and, but it was like we thought we was, and then, you know, battling for the score, NBA scoring title or something. Like it was, but it was like, I ended up averaging like 31.8 or something. We ended up averaging about the same.
Yeah, who won it at the end of the day?
I don't know.
We going to look it up.
I don't know. We got to look it up.
This
I don't
is
know.
Your junior
it's,
year?
Yes, it's junior year.
Okay.
So, you know, so that was, so junior year, that's our King. That's what, and we ended up losing in the quarter, brand new school. Took them to the quarters, lost to San Demons or somebody like that. We, it was already a little record, Division III. And then so senior year, we have, bring back the same team. Like team, I basically helped get, like we, young kid, we had a young kid on the team, Matt Thomas, and we're going.
Okay, that's what y'all was what? Like.
Matt was cold. He came in that freshman year. So that was that freshman year he came when I was a junior. So he's a sophomore now. Another kid, a little kid named James Ellis. He was out there in Norco running around all the time.
What's his name?
James Ellis.
Okay, yeah.
So him, and then we had Leon Roseboro, my running mate. We ended up being county player coach year. He was at Cane Springs, but then I ended up getting him to come over there with me my junior year because he was always under with Cobb. So my daddy told his dad, like, and they lived in the neighborhoods. All these people lived at Sneaky up there somewhere. But they was going to Cane Springs, going to these places, but they lived up the hill. You know what I mean? Because there was no school up there. Gotcha. It was Arlington. You had to go to Arlington or something like that. That's far as you can put north. So it was no school. So senior year, we put it together and make that little run and ended up winning the state championship. Probably still, I think, still the only one in the city history. But so I, you know, I had to, my scoring average dipped a little bit that year. I think I was like 29. 28.
That's
I moved,
not bad.
I moved to the point more though. Moved to the point.
Right.
I think my best.
Who'd you guys play in the state championship game?
We played up in Arco Arena. We played against St. Francis. Mm. They had a little kid going to New Mexico, 6'8 kid going to New Mexico. Had Montgomery's son. They had a cool little team. Division II. We had to beat Modern Day to get there.
Yeah, okay, so that's what I said. That's the game.
We had to be Modern Day to get there.
So basically, Strawberry.
That's when Strawberry.
Mike Merce. No, who was else? Mike Mercer?
Both Strawberries.
Okay, oh.
Both Strawberries. Mike Strawberry and the one that went to the, that played in the L.
DJ
Strawberry. Yeah. Both of them. They was number one in the country.
Yeah.
Going into that game. Dang. Ooh, that's one of the funnest. Somebody was talking about that game the other day to me.
How much y'all went by? Do you remember?
I think it was probably like 7-8. I don't know. But I know I had 36. Man, I remember talking stuff to McKnight. We was just nobody over 6'4 playing.
Dang.
But we all was pretty much good, like, just running around playing D.
Dogs.
Doing whatever on hold. It was fun. Like, at the end of the day, two of us went D1, went NAIA.
Yeah.
Like, the sophomore ended up going D1, one went NAIA. So it was like, one day they make a, it's like one of them little movies, one of these little movies.
Right.
It's one of these.
If somebody do a documentary. You should do a documentary,
brand
man.
New school, Orange Groves. I mean, they shut down the school for us to go out there. It was, like, you didn't know then what was going on, but now you go back, like, oh, okay, that's pretty good. I know a couple people that almost knocked on the door, went, made it, like, North. My little nephew, I think he went up there. My little cousin went North that year, but they lost. So it's cool. And then every time somebody do it, they bring all the little stuff up. And
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it's cool. Like, it's something to hold on to.
Is your jersey retired over there?
Yeah, jersey retired.
Dope.
The Hall of Fame, we're over there in the Hall of Fame. They got the Hall of Fame thing too, top of that. So they did it right, you know what I mean? Then they just honored the whole team last year.
Dope.
So it's good because, you know, now we got Kawhi in there. Tony went there, so.
Yep. Man, started a little legacy, man. Kicked
so
it off.
So it's all right.
Pepperdine. Tell me the story. How did recruiting go? Why'd you choose Pepperdine?
Man, it's a little different than now. Like, but it's one of those things where thank God for that state run. I got to salvage some things. It just, you know, man, I wish me, like, we had a team, probably the best team ever we put together in that summer. Like me, Johnny Duke, Sean Marshall.
You know, it's the IBP? That's crazy.
Loaded.
Crazy.
We just nobody went through Donovan Moores. In a retrospect, one of us should have been the full-time point. Probably should have been me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But everybody fighting was winning the balls for everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, young, running around. So we had that. So everybody had a little, but nobody really got what they wanted from that summer like they thought in that circuit.
Mm.
You know, a couple, Sean ended up being okay because he's a junior.
Right, I said he was younger, right?
Yeah. So, you know, Johnny ended up, you know, but Corey was on that team.
Courtney Jensen,
We had 10 all CIFs. We had 10 all CIFs on that team.
And then what happened on the circuit? Or I guess the circuit thing was just big time and all.
Big time, yeah. Days, like, right? That's what it was, the Adidas, because they had the little contract Adidas and all that. And it was just too much. Like, I'm worrying about why I'm not going to waiting on my stuff to go, why I'm not going to camp. Like, when, you know what I mean? Like, who going to pass the ball? What coach is here to see who? Like, worrying about getting, you know, just. You know, we just couldn't put it together. So that at that time, that's when the travel ball stuff made that turn, like that year before, 2 years, where they was really running the whole, they was running a lot with the recruitment. Like,
yep.
I mean, a lot. No, you know, Section 7s. We have Section 7s and all that right now. Like,
right.
It'd be a way different story.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But, so that was a different, and from the IE, and that's the whole reason why I even did, like, and all of us in necessary, we just didn't know. We didn't have to reach, like as I got on, like, L.A., they was running their stuff a little bit different out there in L.A., like, you know, as we went to school and all, they started getting a little more organized, like, as Collison came up a little bit up under them and started getting a little more organized as far as togetherness and working out and, you know what I mean? Like, but with us, we was going just playing in open runs here, going here, like, it wasn't no.
You graduated 01?
02.
02. You were 02. Okay. Yeah. Yep. No, that makes sense. Because that's when even IEBP, like, that was my years coming up where it was super organized. Like, they had the spring league and then they had all that stuff. Like, all that. Yep.
So now we've gone, but that was, but with us, he had just finished coming running off the contract with the, you know, and we was really, them ones, IEBP was making a good little splash out there, you know, and Kool-Aid had some, and then Kool-Aid had his thing, but they was in the same, going for the same with kids and all that. So IE was ready to make that little, so I said, I'm gonna stay home. I could have been, you know, instead of playing with the LA kids like I grew up playing with middle school, I decided to stay. And you know, you end up, stay run, end up with the New Mexico, the, you know, things, but it was something like, I should have listened to Keith on one thing. I should have waited to that.
But the spring to commit. So you were early commit.
No, I waited to spring to commit, but I could have played after that little run. They was going out of state. They had the money. They was going out of state. They was doing all type of stuff. But Pepperdine just came off that top 25 run, though.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They was top. They just came off. They was like the back end 28, 27. Just made the tournament. Lost the Wake Forest in the tourney on Fox Sports every day. Mm. Paul Westfall in your living room.
Yeah.
At your school.
Yeah. Nah, man. Hey.
But that was the recruitment. But at the end, it's funny because I tell them, man, and St. Mary's came in at the end. But this was St. Mary's first year. He got the job.
Mm. Randy, the same coach.
Randy
now?
Bennett.
Wow.
He called me and said, man. I said, man, I'm probably about to go to Pepperdine. I'm not even about to take my office in New Mexico. I'm probably not about to. Even, I'm probably about to just stay home. Like, it's what's about to happen. He said, I'm about to come down. Like. He said, I saw you at the state championship. I've been reading about your year. I didn't see you till then. He said, man, like, and then I took my visit. I said, I'll take a visit. He said, just give me a visit. St. Mary. I'm like, what is this? Morocco? I didn't even heard of St. Mary's right. in my life. I never even heard of the school.
Right.
I'm like, this ain't on channel. This ain't on no channel, nothing.
Right.
And he's like, man, I'm about to have the best guard. It's going to be the guard you. You can be my first guard I bring in here man. Like you.
What?
The rest is history. And every year after we play him, he said, I told you. He's got, he bringing another
I told
one.
You.
He's coming. He's going. All the way from America, Oakland to Australian guards. He knew how to bring them in. So, yep. Nah, but it's cool. All that stuff just helped me for my future yep. life
yep.
after that.
So. Absolutely. The transition to college. You know, you're not too far from the IE, but it's a whole different world being on the beaches of Malibu and coming from Riverside.
So. I've never even been to Malibu before my visit, bro. Never.
What was that experience like in adjusting to that?
Man, the adjustment wasn't that hard. It was great. Yeah. Like, I had no problem adjusting. I loved it. Like, I was the one that didn't go. I didn't really come home. I became Malibu P, if you ask me. But, like, I came home, you know, hung out a little bit. But I'm there in the summertime, all summer. I'm there, all breaks, everything. Yeah. So, the situation there was just, we were one of the only schools. I was on the younger, one of the younger. They brought in a couple of young dudes at the time. But everybody was grown.
Mm.
I was good for that. But they wanted to, you know, keep you. That was the formula, like, redshirt you or bring in a kickback. They got to sit out a year. Mm-hmm. And then you owe that next year.
Yeah.
And then everybody was a little older. That was the, like, how San Diego's, you know, that's yep. how they're doing it now. That's yep. how Pepperdine was able to survive. That's how he was able to be top 20, you know. So that was, and then shoot, so they'll go to do Gib Arnold. He'll go get the best kid out the IE every year. So we had the top five IE kids in the last 3 years with me, Alex Acker, LA Times, Inland in a year, Inland Empire Player of the Year. From me, Alex Acker to Gary Colbert mm. before us, he was there, Jimmy Miggins.
Mm.
So they knew how to go get the same ones that San Diego State started getting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So. Whereas a young kid like me probably should have went a little bit different
yeah.
situation.
Yeah.
Like, I'm grown enough for this, trust me, but like, I'm grown, maybe too grown, but I need to be where it's a little, where everybody trying to go, you know, it's a little different. But it was a basketball, like everybody was trying to get to the league, but these is grown dudes trying to get to the league. That's how I learned what overseas, I didn't know what overseas was. They were trying, they was teaching me that, like,
yeah.
you get this, you get these numbers, you go overseas, do this, like.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell is that? Like, the overseas was like Dominique Wilkins, and then when they get hurt, like, they done with their career.
It's like going to the league. That's so all that's I know.
What, yeah, that's yeah. all I know. I didn't know nothing. I didn't know you league, but like, but that's what I mean by we didn't really know as much in Riverside. So like,
yeah.
you know, you have me, I'm player of the year coming out of California.
Yeah.
If you player of the year coming out of Orange County, coming out of LA, it's a little different.
Mm.
The time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm running up to Hassan and Mr. Basketball.
Right. Yeah.
But it's a little different. So that's right. why, but then that's why I did what I did.
No, I know that, and that we're going to get to that because I know that's where your basketball journey is your basketball journey, man. And it's no doubt you are one of the best.
I haven't talked about it in never really.
Right. I know, that's why I brought you on here. Because people need to go and look at the archives of what you did, man, and like beating Modern Day that year and then winning the state championships. Like that was like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Who's doing this with yeah. a newer school? Like it was dope. And then, so Pepperdine, your journey at Pepperdine. So you stayed there all 4 years?
Stayed there all four, played. We ended up getting a new coach the last year. And like, you know, I had to, career up and down was pretty good. Numbers weren't always what I wanted to be, but ended up panning out okay at the last years. Like, you know, it's just that it's a different game. Like, you just tell people all the time, like, college is different from high school, and not as far as like the higher level is. Is similar to if you're the best on the high school level.
Yeah,
wide open, you get to do. You know,
yeah,
college is a little bit more restricted. That charge, and there was no restricting line. That restricting line, you know. Hurt and packed in that line, you know, teams, Gonzaga, WCC, not knowing that conference, you know, I'm just looking at Pepperdine, not knowing that conference is all packed in, packed line all day.
Yep.
Like that, you know, I should have been probably in the Mountain West where we get up and down a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Like, playing your style.
Playing my style a little bit better. So that was the adjustment part. Like I could play. This is not a problem. The speed, everything's cool. But, God, this is not even basketball. This is YMCA or something. I don't even know what this is.
Right.
You know, so like, and then we had games where there was regular games, and you know, like the USS, where it's all regular people, and the coach, I'm playing 40 minutes. They pressing, they picking up full, talking. Like, this is what I thought it was gonna be.
Right.
So it's you know, that's
what it's important to choose the school that fits your style. How important is that?
That's the most important thing in all of it. Like, you don't know, like I went from damn near leading the state in points to trying to lead the conference in assists. Like, just because I knew how to play ball, okay, this is how I'm gonna fit in. I got to play pure time point, play D, and you know, like, so.
No, you're a bucket. Like,
and then you have to turn. Then you got to figure out how to turn it back on when it's time to go get a bucket. Like, it's just, you know, I'm high value shooter. I got to shoot. You know, some games it might look ugly. Like, some games it might look sweet. We don't know what it's gonna be that day.
Right.
But it's gonna get the job done.
Right.
And at that time, like, it was, so it's just, you know, just being that. It was a transition area. You just miss, like, we're part of the. I call it the Travis Best era, like the them type point era. Like, then Tony Parker came right about that, where he can open up a little bit with floats and all that. Like,
when your job as a point guard was to distribute and play defense and run the team.
Like, piece of the paint means nothing to me at this point. Like, that's what you was bred and born to do at all. That's what you couldn't do that. You couldn't even get past 10th grade.
This is the like AI was the change, right? I think he's one of the biggest culture shifts in basketball, is where a smaller guard can get buckets. There's other people who did it, for sure. AI changed the game, because he was able to play freely in his style and fit into basketball systems. And so people were like, if you're doing that, like, oh, you're an undersized too, but not knowing, like, look at the league now.
Look at the league now, and that's what I'm saying, like this. Like, so Paul used to, like, Westfall, because Westfall used to be, dang, like, throw him at the point full time. He might be erratic sometimes. I don't know what we're gonna get, but too little to play the 6'5", 6'6" twos.
Yeah,
you don't really shoot it all the way, like, just consistent enough to be just sitting on running these pin downs and all this stuff for. What do you do? But now you can just throw through. But I helped him at one point. I'm like, man, we could play three of us. You could play me, Alex Acker, who's 6'5", 6'4", and you could play this other little dude from Canada. We could play all three of us. I'll guard the best perimeter person. I'll get the next one. He can get the littlest one to point. Yeah. Like, we could just figure it's college basketball, like, you know what I mean? So, and that's when it started changing a little bit, but like, it's now it's positionless for the most part. Like, if you can guard, it's like playing in the park now. Get in space, boom, like, shoot.
I know, always think about it. If they played how we play now, how much more freedom I would have. Pick and roll, and all, man, what?
And pig, whoopty whoop, and I was rejecting the pig, didn't want it, because it wasn't for you to really go score then. It was for you to look like, you know, John Stockton or something like that. I don't know that. I didn't play like that.
Right.
But then I know, oh, you come off, you know, use it again. Like, you know what I mean? Just get it pushed, throw it up. Like, and the last coach, he played like that. He's at Fresno State now. He tried to dribble drive and all that stuff a little bit. Like, but it still was, you know, he had to find that balance. We couldn't really win, but it was playing ball. We was up and down again. Like, so that's what the game is right now. It looked fun to me. Like, a lot of older dudes, I'd be watching those stuff. This look fun to me.
It is.
Like run around, they can shoot threes.
Right.
Hit somebody with a woo-wop, get to the cup. Like you can do whatever. You can just play. And as long as you space, as long as you, you know, pass, cut, the basic principles of basketball. Like, that's what I mean. Like, this right here, this movie is just playing ball. Like, all this stuff, we trying to put this name to this to that. Like, we do too much, doing too much to the game. It's just a round ball. That's why it's a special game, because anybody could play, like, the poor, the rich, the medium, like, trying to push people out, man. We trying to do too much to the game, where it's court, you can jump a fence and go play at the local elementary school and go shoot, get your jumpers up outside. Like, kids don't even want to shoot outside no more, because somebody told them, no, I make my daughter shoot outside, because that's how you get your jumper better. Like,
right. Double rims.
Like, double rims. Where I live at a place right now, because I knew they had double rims right there, like, on purpose. Like,
right.
On purpose.
Hey,
like,
your daughter got a strap, just so y'all know. She don't miss.
She can shoot that thing. She learned to shoot in the wind, double rim, all that. Like, you're not just going to learn to shoot in the gym, perfect conditions.
Yeah. Like, now, I had a parent call me, and this is core, because part of core at one of the locations, they got to rotate outside because we just have that many kids. And we didn't pay all this money for them to play outdoors. I'm sorry, are you talking about basketball? Like, basketball. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, the kids at both campuses go and play outdoors. Like, this is, it was like, I almost didn't even know what to say. And I had to come back and say, hey, like, this isn't for you if your kid doesn't want to hoop anywhere.
And like, the only thing I told my daughter, she said we could poop outside once a week. We got to do. I said, hey, just make sure you don't be. Make sure you got your outside shoes. Don't be messing up them.
That's what I said. Sneakers. Like, they have their indoor shoes. I said, yeah, bring another pair.
Your other pair. You got lockers.
Right.
They got lockers.
Tie them to your backpack and keep it pushing, man. I had shorts under my shorts. I had shorts on.
I got shorts on right now.
I'm ready to hoop at all. I mean, they sit in my car now, but. I'm always ready to hoop.
Even about to do no hooping, but that's the whole thing.
You're still mentality.
I can't wear pants without shorts up under.
Yep.
So it's, especially not sweats.
Yeah, man.
So it's just, we're just turning into something where it shouldn't be. It's a fun game that if you practice a lot, you probably would get good. If you have DNA in you and you practice a lot, you're probably gonna hit a lot of things. Like I tell my daughter all the time, like this game, like, you can, to the stars, but you're going to fall somewhere. If you fall somewhere around here, that's fine. Like, if you reach to be the best ever. But at the worst with this game, you're going to get a degree.
Right.
You're going to get a degree.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to go to college and get a degree.
Network. And now with the opportunities in the business of basketball, just stay with it. Stayed with it, and we didn't even get to that, like, pinnacle of business in basketball, but basketball is a part of our life, and we get paid to do something with it.
Paid to do something with it.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. So you can't, that's what you like, that's what you do. And I teach my whole house principles off basketball. Everything is, do my discipline through it. Like, I don't know, it's a special thing to me. So,
Right. So you didn't go overseas. You decided to go home.
That was one of the most, I don't know what you call it. That's when, you know, you say when it off, something's real or figure out like, or basketball real. That's when I realized like, oh, God and stuff is, this is not, this, I have nothing to do with this.
Mm.
Like, I just turn it down, a couple contracts, a lot to you. I remember the DAC countries and all that stuff. Went to the Jeep. Then I turned all those down. Agent calling me, like, man, like, you're not gonna take none of these? Like, I'm like, oh.
Were they nice contracts?
They were good. They were like 75.
Okay, first years.
85, first year. Yeah. 80. It got to 80 on one of them, but it was in Latvia. Yeah, that was the best one right there. And in Germany, a couple little stuff. It was good. I'm like, I'm cool on being out there. Like, I don't know, like,
where do you think that came from? Being, you know, like, I don't want to go to another country. Is that from being kind of in IE in that space for so long, and then?
That's when I said, man, this is not me. This is not me anymore. Like, I'm just turning down stuff, saying no, working out, like doing all different stuff I never really did before to get ready. Like, I'm in the best shape of my life.
Where'd you do pre-draft stuff at?
Did pre-draft stuff. See, that's what we did at Penzac. Dude, I did it up north, a little bit up north in Sacramento with this dude. I was with this agent called, named Ben Penzac, you know. And that's another thing. The LA dude's telling me, switch up, go with this dude, do this stuff. Like, man, this dude taking care of me, cool.
Right. Right.
But I'm saying, dude, I'm like, hold on, you going there with a little, you know, some situations. I'm like, oh, okay, I like this a little bit better, but ain't nobody, I got a plan for him. Like, I don't really hear no plan for me like that. Mm-hmm. I don't really hear, but I got a teaching, I got a job at Calabasas High that's going to make this. Plus, I got, you know, that's when I was living in Calabasas. I'm starting to train kids. I'm starting to do elite. I already had elite. I had that my senior year, I already had elite.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I already had it for a year. I did that during when I was going in my senior year, I started elite.
Hmm.
I had a little brother and a little homeboy. Little homeboy.
Who's a little homeboy?
Clint.
Oh, okay.
Clint Parker. They was in limbo with teams, figuring out what they need to do, and he was running around, he wanted to help kids, he had kids, and so we round up the troops. And I said, all right, I can get some money from, you know, rest in peace, this booster, Hank Salvatore, who helped do all the stuff. Like, he helped start it off, gave me a nice little something. I said, okay. I remember taking jerseys from Pepperdine, practice jerseys, dirty practice jerseys, to go to the little Dino's games. So I was able to put the kids, like, I was able to jump on the scene with them because I played. So I knew I was doing the Dino's. His first people he was calling to come to his camps. Like, can you come to the camp? I'm like, don't go to this pump camp. Don't go here. Don't go. Like, can you come to my camp?
And Dino's ain't changed.
Can you come here? So like, I was one of the first people he's calling in those years to get the Long Beach kids. And he had a couple of little IE connects he was doing. So like, I knew these people, and they seen me play the last year. They was at my gym, like at Pepperdine. Like, right. They all be at the games. So it was, and then Hank was helping everybody out. He the one who made the Drew League come back and all that. That's why it was the Salvatore, all the new Salvatore this, Salvatore that.
Gotcha, okay.
He the one who helped bring it back and then everybody's stuff. So he was a fixture, you know, what's that? Fixture in LA, like a, what's that thing with the money person, you know?
A booster, yeah.
Not a booster, but a philanthropist.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
He's a philanthropist,
gotcha.
Yeah, so he was that. So everybody had to let me into the stuff. So I had kids in the best stuff in Southern California was at the time. We went pumps, we everything.
And this is a high school team.
High school team, yeah. We went straight to no little kids. Then I had Canyon Springs kids. I had King kids. I had some dogs. All the kids at Kool-Aid, like some Kool-Aid leftovers because they had Malcolm Lee was playing at the time. They didn't want to. Malcolm was about to be the first All-American from the area. With him and then that was like, so it was a good time at that time.
Yeah.
So between Clint, myself, a couple of my homeboys. I had a homeboy. I had a son. I had a brother. Between them, we was able to grab up the troops, and we just the van. That was back in the day, the vans, and then, you know, so that's how that all came about. And I already had that, so I'm playing that year with that. So I already had stuff in the fire, like stuff that was already going, and then I had a little young kid, Kawhi Leonard, running around. That I don't know. That I took to a little bit. And, you know what I mean, to the situation. And it was just something, I'm like, okay, like, so the whole, man, this whole little, it's something gotta be sweet for me to go.
Yeah.
But, and that G League came about, that was what I should've took. But me not taking it helped people like Kiwi Gardner become who he is today.
Gotcha.
I knew to take Kiwi at 18 and what to do with that little, and tell him let's bump this school, Providence did that to you, that didn't work out there. The little JUCO we brought, I tell you, boom. We're gonna be the youngest to go to the, end up being the last pick of the draft that year in the G League. The youngest person before this, all this stuff that happened for a week, Kiwi Gardner, one of the youngest ones. I don't know the numbers. I don't know if he was the first one, but he was one of the youngest ones to ever get to the G. But I knew all that, how it worked. Like whatever that money is, they saying is not really that money. Like you're gonna live in this extended stay. And at that time I had a wife that I known forever. I mean, girlfriend I known forever, that's my wife now. Like, I should have took that G League, that six, whatever money, stayed there. She was a manager at Target at the time, fresh off her degree for 2 years. So like, could have kept her check.
Yeah.
Could have been here, could have saved, you know what I mean? The same doctor that worked on Livingston's knee, Beverly Hills, told me a whole, like, man, he gave me these new little shots to redo the cartilage. And
PRP joints?
I was the first one they was doing them on like that. Like,
dang.
So he's like, man, you go here, sign that contract, and then, boom, we're going to get you right, come back, and I know what to do. Like, man, this sound like, it was just too much. Like, this is too much moving, but I didn't know, like, 14,000, 15, G League? Bakersfield Jam, Calabasas High, teacher, coach over here,
right?
Elite, I got elite.
Yeah,
I don't even sound right, bruh. But now looking back, like, dang, that was. But now someone like Kiwi was able to take that, play in different countries. You know what I mean? Like, I would have took that. I would have got me a deal here. I went here. I'd have been running around like a lot of my peers did. But that was just a lack of I'm guiding myself. I'm doing it myself. Like, my dad taught me how to play the game, taught me everything, but nobody knew nothing. Nobody knew nothing after. Nobody even played D1 in my house before, in my whole family. Like I made it. Yeah. My family, my mama is the oldest of 11 kids.
Dang.
All my cousins, everybody, nobody played no D1 ball before.
Yeah, and you opened the door for a bunch of other kids. Yeah. Like, by making that choice. And that's what you said it earlier. You said that's when you knew you wasn't in control. Your purpose was bigger than you hooping and taking that route. And, you know, God knows what would have happened, but your impact on the game has been
big.
It's been bad. So, multiple pros, one superstar, all-star, one guy who, can somebody please give Tony Snell his last few games? Please.
Man, can you please give my mans his games? Man, crazy, I love Tony to death. I almost wore Tony's jersey up here. That's my, man, I love Tony to death. That's probably the greatest human being that when he's ever walked this earth. You know you.
Yep.
It's funny because it's all guard work. He'd be like, man, this little light skin, dude. Like, he'd be pretty smart. He know what he's talking about. He'd be working over the 360 with us. What are you talking about? And then later, about years later, I said, you talking about yeah, that's what I used to be telling you about. I said, oh, okay. So it was funny, but no, he always had high praise for you. Yeah. When he was just talking, and you know, when he's come out here working out with over there with Chris.
Yep, Chris. Yeah.
So he's just one of the greatest people alive. Like, yeah, he's still playing right now. G League, he probably got his body ain't gonna stop. He's just born to play basketball. Like,
yeah, he's a machine, man. I've never seen somebody shoot the same way every single time without blinking, man.
You might be one of the only testimony, like you could say. Like, that's how you know the NBA is a different monster. And you have to, it's probably the only league where kids should really accept being for that paycheck. Right?
Yep.
But Tony can do anything with that ball, known to man.
Yep.
Like, I remember I ran this whole pre-draft, everything. Like, I sit here and I did everything from the top to the bottom as far as picking the agents, talking to Adidas, putting that stuff in the contract, where I did everything with this. And so he trusted me to do everything with his stuff, and I didn't hand nothing over. I handed some stuff over to Kawhi's, but I didn't hand nothing over his. And I remember coming we had 40 NBA people there, you know, with multiple people from Tony. It was 28 teams represented.
Dang.
Might have been two missing on his pro day that we set up at Orsini.
It was just him?
Him and I had we had four other dudes. We had Chase Stanley, Chase Stanley, sorry, my man.
Stand back?
Not stand back. God damn, he gonna be hot as I don't know what happened. From San Diego State, Chase. He played with the team with Kawhi and him at San Diego State. We had the kid from Washington at the time, Duke Gotti, whatever was there. Because Mitch Butler was the agent I had.
Okay, yeah.
For him. So Mitch Butler, and the dude that runs, you know, Jimmy Iovine's nephew is the person that the management company agent. Like, that's what I'm saying. I gave him an idea we could start the whole sports thing. Mm-hmm. This is before Rocker Sports and all that.
Right.
All his peers did it. Mm. Like, his peers started doing it. You know what I mean? So that was. You know, my idea, like, man, I know all this stuff. He's going to be a first-round pick. With the first-round pick, it don't matter. I can get him, like, it's all basketball. He's already invited in Chicago. He's this. He's on the board. When Orlando Magic called and told me Tony's on the board, like, with just 100 people on the board, and they'll ask me about him. So they call me, ask me about him. I said, wait, hold on. Why are you even calling me about Tony? He only averaged 8 points. That's how I told you, he's born to play basketball. Mm-hmm. But he's not. I said, this is probably going to be one of the lower drafts. That draft, 14, and it's 100 people on the board. We just seeing which one's gonna stick, and he got the perfect prototype for this league. Then Tony, hey man, we gotta have to come. You got to come to my house this summer, bro. All summer.
You gonna have to come.
You have to come all summer,
like, yeah,
and work out because you can be a pro next. He said, huh? A week later, Grizzlies called. Same thing. I said, hold on, hey, this Magic and Grizzlies didn't call me, bro. Like, and you only average. Hey, I don't know what this is going on, but. You gotta come stay with me all summer. We gotta get right. That next, he listened. I said, we going. We out of here after this year. Don't tell nobody. Don't say nothing. We gonna leave. Just do this. Started off, he was, player of the week in the country that first week. 27-20, hit a game winner. Started off on fire. They ended up being top 25 in the country. Everybody ended up eating from that team, Kendall Williams, but still, he's still on the fire thing. He was second round. I'm like, man, we gonna work our way in that first. That's why I said, go back to that pro day. I started off with the spider. I said, this boy, nobody know he can do everything in the world. I said, we about to start off with the old school spider. He said, old school spider. I said, dude, just old school spider. We didn't do this in no workouts or nothing. Like, do old school spider.
Up the ball handling joint.
Yes, just old school spider up and down the court. He said, in front of all these people. As soon as they saw it, they said, oh, wait. So I said, just do spider, 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 dunk, spider, 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 on the other end, dunk. That's how we're going to start this off. Mm. It got quiet after that happened. They looked, it was quiet. Because he had already shot the, lights out at Chicago. He was third best shooter out there. Mm. That's why I say, like, my pre-draft is different, baby. You want some real pre-draft? Like, my pre-draft is different. Yeah. Like, everybody, they know how to shoot the ball when they mess with me.
Yeah.
Like, everybody who I raised, we know how to shoot that ball.
They know how to shoot.
Like, the first day is, I'm handing you the NBA ball, because that's the first thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to leave it at that. But they know how to shoot the ball.
Yeah.
So we came in there. Everything is marked. I knew what he was going to be. I'm sitting in a hotel in Chicago. I knew what the percentages were going to be, because it's the same every day.
Yeah.
And they had already told me, well, he shouldn't go to all these workouts. I said, no, I'm running this show. He's going every, it's like, I said, we from the IE, bro. We from the, and he's from Watts first. Mm. Like, he's from Watts. If Canyon Rental Valley, if he gets to, if anybody calls and say they want to see him work out, we're going. He did the most workouts probably ever. He did 23, 24 workouts, baby. And I said, dude, if he's not working out there, he's going to be working out with me. So we might as well go get some food. Get to sleep good. It's only an hour and a half. It's 90 minutes max.
Right.
Of jumpers and ones and threes.
Light work. That's hooping.
You can't go do that.
Man, that's marketing.
What are we doing? That's, you're getting 24 interviews. Like, I'm not going to turn down. If you put your application and 24 people say, come here and interview for the job you want, the number one job in the whole world, you're going to go to every single interview.
Right.
And it's free to get there.
Right.
What are we talking about?
Yeah. And he ended up being what number?
In the 20th, draft? Baby. 20th yeah. pick. The first team that liked him ended up being the team that took him, the Bulls. Mm-hmm. And that's why it was, that was like one of the best, that was one of the best feelings I'd ever been a part of. Like this kid who just, one of the best kids in the world, who just really love who. He's one that, loves like him. He doesn't do, like you talking about when you love, like, that's all he wants to do is hoop. He's not into nothing else. Not one thing else, nothing. Now he's, you know, he's mature, he's older, he has hobbies now probably, but probably not. He has an indoor court in his house. Like, he shoots for fun, his kids shoot. Like, hey, you go there, I'll go visit him. Man, we shoot for fun. We talk, yeah. We talking, we shooting.
Yeah.
You know, so no, that's, I digressed a little bit when you mentioned his name, but.
No, and that, I mean, but I wanted to get to that because like, people don't know that. People don't know that like you helped develop this kid from the, you know.
From the I had him since the 10th on.
And then, and the process, right? A lot of people, especially now, man, the process is so political. It's super political. Like we're even dealing with some kids that I'm, you know, I know who are in that process now.
Yeah.
It's still political, but there's all this NIL stuff going on. Every agency in the world calling agencies, like you said, everybody who owns an entertainment agency is opening a sports agency now. And then you have your, you know, rappers and comedians and whoever else opening up all these. And it's like, yo, who do you go with? What is? And then I'm like, I sit back and I'm watching. I'm like, yo, there's a way to navigate around all this. And you leverage yourself because of social media now. Like you didn't have, we didn't have social media.
Yeah, none of that stuff.
With the social media, with the access to information about how this process works, the NBPA is stepping in and they'll negotiate your contract for 0%. And you, and truth be told, so this is what people don't know is that that first contract, the agency don't make no
and
money on that.
$0.
There's no point in almost. The agent helps you get in front of NBA teams, but. Sounds like you did that, and you were a coach at Calabasas High School and ran a middle school, a AAU program. There's ways to do that if you know how to grind.
Yeah, at that point, that's when we, and that's what I said, we was at, that's funny, we was at Westwind, it's called Westwind Prep at the time, now it's Hillcrest.
Okay.
And I helped start that prep school. I brought Tony out there, Jamal Franklin. He ended up being the second round pick that year. Jamal.
So you know I worked with Jamal for a little bit too.
Yes.
Impact.
That's what I'm saying. So that's what, and when he, you know, he decided to go to Impact during that pre-draft.
Yeah.
Tony stayed home with me.
Oh, it was the same pre-draft?
Same pre-draft.
Mm.
Jamal had been with me years leading up to that.
Mm.
Kawhi went to.
He went to Impact as well.
And that's when I knew. I'm about to do this next one. We sent Clint with him, though. Clint went out there with him.
Right.
and we monitored, and he came home, we was able to do stuff, you know what I mean? But I don't know, I look at stuff a little differently, getting ready for an interview, you know, stuff shouldn't be.
Talk about it.
It shouldn't be we at some resort, we playing with each other and everybody, I'm about to go get drafted with you, but we about to be buddy-buddy and we got to go hang and we about to go work out together with six people. I'm about to get 1,000 jumpers up twice a day and I got to work out with six people. That's not even mathematically possible.
Mm. Yep.
Like, it's not, Jerry McCain, the best. Man. I told my daughter, he's going to be real. We was watching him. She said, Dad, you're going to be, we saw him all summer. We was at Sports Academy all summer. So we saw everybody come
by
through.
By himself.
By himself.
By himself.
Like, I don't.
He was the rookie of the year until he got hurt.
He's by himself with the man, with this dude who was running through stuff with a cone.
He's been with Shay since seventh grade.
That dude was nice. I didn't know who that was. That, he's nice.
Yep.
Because he's doing, they was just getting ready for his game. For his interviews, his next phase of life, like this, and doing, his game is coming off shooting. You're going to have to come off the pick, you're going to have to get bumped, and you're going to have to make a decision. Like, you got to shoot it,
and
but you
everything
got to shoot
he
shoot.
Worked on, it was his game. Was it his was game. Like, it was crazy.
It was
like,
his game.
Yo, this looks like the real game. He had all the defenders out there with, man, it was, that's a great point.
And that's what I was good with Tony. Pre-draft and go with him because I knew his game. I had him since he was. We went to preps. We lived together at the prep school. Mm. Like after senior year at King, we went together to Arizona. Like we all went together. So I knew his game. I knew exactly what we needed to work on. I watched every single game. I knew everybody that we was going against. I knew every single two guard that was ahead of him. Every single two and three that was ahead of him. I knew everybody we had to catch in the workouts. I knew everybody's game. I knew Kentavious Caldwell's game. I knew the kid from UCLA's game, Shabazz Muhammad. I knew everybody's game inside and out. And I knew what our game had to compete with that. I knew what the league wanted. And I was able to put it all together, but only had one person to worry about.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, he could shoot a gazillion jumpers.
Yeah.
We're about to go shoot. Like, they tell you the test. They give you the test in Chicago. They give you the test. So why am I working on cone drills when that's not part of the test? Why am I working on putting two chairs and splitting the two chairs to the floor? Like, that's not part of the test. These jumpers by yourself is part of the test.
Yeah. I like how you do things. So Kawhi was a part of Team Elite as well, and this is where he kind of popped on the scene kind of later in his high school career, right?
Yeah.
And people didn't know. I mean, nobody kind of knew how good he was, right?
I came to ref a basketball game. My daddy used to, in the summertime, trying to give me a couple of dollars at Pepperdine. Mm. Summertime. Ref the basketball game out in Riverside. It was a JV, like a little game going in that summer after he just finished his freshman year. His freshman year, football, whatever he started playing. I had kids from Canyon Springs already on my team. I said, man, bring that kid. I just said, hey, man, he would play football. I said, man, he had like 4 points in a little game, but it was all four was a tip jam. Two tip jams. And a gang of assists, gang of rebounds. They didn't even know what he was just out here playing ball. I said, oh, dang, that's a different little kid. And then when they told him, you know, my coach when he played, he said, oh, the one with the braids, you know. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know. So he started playing. So the rest of it, we had a little rinky-dink, little Miles and Pops team, but we was going all the little stuff and we was at everything. I had kids that was from everybody from the neighborhood, Reno Valley and Riverside. Like that was it, just Reno Valley and Riverside. And then started getting a couple of little, I guess, East of the 60, some of that. Corona kids didn't really mess with me at first.
Won't mess with me, I know.
Yeah,
they
didn't mess with me. So that's what we had. We was running around having fun, and Kawhi was one of the first. He was our center. He's the biggest one. He's 6'4". He's a center, but he's 11.
Did you know he was a pro?
I did. And I used to tell my dad that boy. But it wasn't based off. It was just based off. I never seen the kid want to work that hard, and a kid that really analyzed everything, like really wanted to be good. Knew where he was at. That's the problem. Like, Mike Snare was leading the pack at the time. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knew where he was at. And he knew what, I got to get here to get here, get here to get here. Oh, all it takes is work? So you tell me all I got to do is shoot all these shots every day? Just do this, lock myself in the gym? That's it? Yeah, that's it, bro. Because he had big hands. He could jump. He had awareness. He had everything you need that's built into a, wrapped into an athlete.
Yeah.
It just, you give him some skill. Help him, you know, show, you don't have to give him skill. Like, you just show him what to do. Like, just show him what to do. Like, I'll never say, yeah, I make that kid. I make him. Like,
right.
No, but I will show you what to do. You have work ethic.
That's it.
Man. You can go far away. And if you need, and if you need help with the mental part on how to attack different stuff, I know all that. I can help you with that. And you can get a certain point where you master that. Like, my daughter's 14. I'm still helping her with that part. Like, me and her coach go with it right now, Gideon. Like, no, I'm still going to be behind over here. Like, she's still going to have to talk to me during the game sometimes. I don't. It's going to happen, bro. Until she masters it.
Melvin Booker, Devin Booker's dad, told me that. I saw him. It was at Section 7 a few years ago, and we shopping it up. And he retired from playing overseas when Devin was a junior in high school.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, and I did it to coach him. He said, I was on the bench. He said, the biggest thing I can do as a dad who hooped, that's the difference. Is some of these dads do it who didn't, like, they, you're an accountant and you're trying to tell your kid how to hoop. Yes. That ain't it. You're a hooper. He said, the best thing I can do is be his coach and give him in-game adjustments.
Give him in-game adjustments.
Because your coach isn't looking, they're looking at the big team perspective, but for somebody who you're trying to develop into a certain level of player, if you give them in-game adjustments from a hoop perspective.
Yes.
He said, so that's, I coach Devin into getting 40 points a game.
Yes.
I could tell him to just tweak this just a little bit.
Yes.
While he's hooping. So
that's what I'm, if I'm not on the bench right now on their little travel ball team, because I don't believe, I don't want to do, be the coach on the, this here and be the person in the high school. So I picked one, which one I felt was going to be more beneficial for our household. Mm-hmm. And 10 months, 11 months, all me is more beneficial than just throwing you on the, you know, because she's good enough to be on the platform.
Right.
So I don't, you know, and then having to meet, you know, coach like Gideon, stuff like that, that knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Like, he played high level, so that's what I want. He's a, my daughter is well with males, she's well with you. Like, she likes the males and stuff. So it's,
yeah,
it's one of those things where you have to know your person, period.
Yeah.
And you can navigate it all the way through.
Yeah. I think that's part of the advice of the question I'm about to ask you is, like, when, because it happens all the time now, right? Somebody you help develop and get there, and you may have the rest of the process to help them get to that next level, but somebody comes in with all the glitz and the glamour of the agency and their own trainer and all these things. Yeah. How do you or would you navigate that now with the current landscape?
There's only way you have, the only way to navigate is you have to have those, you have to have relationships with those people and you have to be a team. There's no way of fighting and cutting this person out and trying to get, oh, I need all this, I need all that. And everything has to be, one thing I've always been upfront with my parents from day one, doing this with this agency, we got this on the top, or they got this, or he called for you, or she called for you. So no parent ever can say I did anything wrong to their kid. But nowadays, handling it, I would handle it, you have to handle, you have that paperwork now. Like, you really have that paperwork. Like,
yeah.
And in our community, like, in our culture, we don't want to be held by paperwork. You're supposed to be, oh, you're supposed to, no, you have to get paperwork and say, I'm going to help you do this. And then I know this person to help you do this. Or I got these three people and you can pick from these three people. Or, you know, you have to make it all a team. That's the only way to navigate it. If you, so like me now, I just bowed out. I just bowed out because you don't have enough loyalty between kids, parents, and loyalty to their own game first. To even keep navigating and leveraging deals and putting yourself out there, because these kids aren't about to go to extra like a Kawhi or like a Tony. Like, they're not about to work. I don't care if I get a red cent from them. I did it because I knew they was about to put 1,000 into it, and their mamas and their daddies, whoever was behind them, they knew I was just putting 1,000 into them. So it's. Now you have to figure out your money, you have to figure out the fees, you have to figure out too much, or it backfires. Or now you're moms and pops, so now I got to go to him because he's big time. But hold up, I done did all this. I done Right. Then tossed this up, then sprinkled all this, and showed you the whole game. Mm. But so now you gotta work with him. So now somebody like me, you gotta work with that person, you know what I mean? So it's too much. Yeah. And then these trainers, this trainer, because you saw him on the internet. I'm not an internet man. You're not gonna see me on the internet training. Right. Like, I don't have no props. I don't have nothing.
I just think about the players, just five that I could think of, with Jamal Franklin, Bucket. Average what, 30 in China? Something.
30 in
something.
China, yeah. He's leading scorer in scorer in the goddamn nation, 36 out of high school.
Yeah.
San Diego State, he was the only one. He had the most rebounds as a guard, and he averaged like 18 and 9, 2 years, 20. Yeah, he's a bucket.
Bucket. Tony Snell. Shooter, bucket, NBA, 10-year pro. What, how many more games does he need?
I think they say only, his wife told me, I think one or two.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
To get his pension, which is wild. Get this man his two games, bro. Like, go to some team that's, like, anyways. Kawhi Leonard, all-star, top 75 of all first, time. Like,
Ballard Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Hall of Famer. Matt Bradley. This man popped on the scene out of nowhere. Well, to us, nowhere, in sophomore year, averaging 30, something stupid.
Yeah, junior year.
Junior year, 30.
30.
Bucket.
Bucket.
And then Kyla. Like, yeah, my daughter. Bucket. Like, the proof is in the pudding, and that says something, man. And I want to encourage you. I'm not telling you be all in the rap videos dancing with your clients, but, man, what you have is a gift, man, to teach people how to shoot that thing and how to be scorers. And you have services you can offer and help kids. And that's what we all about, right?
Yeah, that's
and so that's part of this show is like, yo, he's available to help your kid. You just got to be in the gym where he's at. And so this is your opportunity to connect with him. Comment on the bottom of this post, because this will be a post if you want to get with Marvin
this is one of the things I tell people, if you know, it's something that I had a blessing to help kids, and then the world blessed me back. Like, I live fine. I tell somebody all the time, I could pay for a number. If you could pay for a number five at any given day, any given restaurant or fast food place, you have a place, you have a roof, yeah. You're comfortable, that's safe.
Yeah.
You have a transportation. And this game provided all that for me. Like, I play basketball, and then basketball and education, the two things combined, has been special on that. So, like, this, helping these kids, and that's, but it's too much of an internet. That's what I'm saying, I gotta get this big old website. I gotta do this.
I got you. You ain't gotta do nothing now, man. You good.
I do too much stuff now. Just to.
You good. It's gonna be word of mouth for
your kid, man. I can help you, but this. it's been cool. The kids that are around, and like this team of league stuff. I got kids that get about the basketball, like Monster, high up in Monster, went to Rice, and he's high up in Monster now, like in Houston. Teachers, we got people who run, the kid that right now he runs, he probably get you one of these rims, he makes the hoops. Like, Jared, he makes the hoops and stuff. I don't know if you're seeing Jared be balling. He makes the basketball hoops for different, like you've seen on the NBA stuff. He got contracts with NBA and different stuff with these hoops. And he was a kid that since he was 15, he was selling t-shirts. And I got him at LMU as a walk-on, was playing with that staff. They fired a whole staff wearing his extra credit t-shirts. And you know what I mean? He's always been a little thing. So I got assistant coaches and D1, D2, referees, kid up and coming G League referee right now. Like you said, pros and multiple scholarships. And then like these kids I look on there, people show me, so they're best friends. Everybody from every team or every era, like they have a best friend. Like now they're getting their 30s or late 20s. Somebody that they met I had a kid from Victorville and a kid from Agoura. They're best friends. They're locked in for life.
Yeah.
A kid that just joined the Navy. He's 20-something years old. He went into the Navy. He would never even thought about college. Like, big 6'7" dude. He never ended up getting a degree from Chicago State. Ended up figured out he can go to the Navy and as a high up and all that. He just did it 2 years ago, like a year ago now. Like,
dope, man.
Cops, like, it's pretty cool. Like, no, so it's a list of these young men, like, now who they use that basketball, didn't have to pay a dime, school. Yep. They're able to get degrees, they're able to start their stuff. And I can only imagine now with these kids now what they do with the NIL money and do with different stuff. Like it's cool. Like, it's a cool little situation. So Team Elite was something that probably was, like, yeah, this is a good little impact. Like, it's on hold now, but, you know, my daughter, like Kylie, you said her, and I got the one that's in the sixth, Kira. And shoot, they get the benefit from all that now.
Right.
Everything I know, everything I learned. Now, I even know that you don't have to play every week. You don't have to do all this stuff. I know when you can get ranked. I know when. I knew that. I also knew when not to have Team Elite girls no more because, you know, my daughter needed to play with different girls, hear a different voice, and learn some, yeah. And get ready to be part of a. Like, I'm not going to be selfish and try. I got to get Nike, get this contract, try to get a contract when I can just have her flourish with already that's there. So I learned all that through Elite, though. So it's cool, and relationships and different people. So, yeah. Like, so we mentioned the pros, the Tonys, you know, Kawhi's and Jamal Franklin's, and people met like Kiwi Gardner, where I met him at 17 prep school. We from way different walks of life, and he probably calls me. He calls me every day, him and his brother. Pee-wee comes down to help referee. I do these referees and stuff on the weekend. He comes down from Oakland. These are two of the most popular people on the internet at one point.
Right.
In the YouTube, they call me Pops. Like, so it's cool. Like, this is, it's something that you didn't know. Like I said, somebody else is carrying you and you didn't know what was going on and you didn't know you was, I don't want to use the lack of better words, like you was being not used or sacrificed or whatever for all these other kids to know and understand and flourish.
That's your purpose, man. And like, it don't stop, like, and when we could transition to the next segment, we gotta get rolling too, is just like you coaching now in high school, and then you're on the girl's side now. And now, your kids are young. So you got another 10, 12 years now of doing this.
And it's the last, you know, everything is planned, and it's the last phase, but the last, do everything in 4 to 6, do everything in 4 years. Mm-hmm. So it's 12 to 16, it's huge.
Yep.
It's huge right there. You're gonna really know she's in that last two, about to be on that two. She's a year and a half of that. So in the last two and a half of that four, that's gonna pretty much be critical in the way her next story. She keep listening and finding, but then she helps her sister kick the door. It makes it easier for her. She thinks she tells her sister she's LaMelo Ball. She's not even like, what's college? That's what she tells her sister. I'll be dying laughing. So. And with the girl, so God just put me down with, you know, with a good friend of my sister's, a good friend of family, Shay Murphy. She got the job at Bishop Alemany, and it's like, we got this job. And it wasn't all
former WNBA player.
That's what I'm about to say. Yep. So she was the one. I used to send video of Kyla, my daughter, at fourth, fifth grade, like, I'm gonna need you when she get in about the eighth. Hmm. But I didn't know God was gonna have her call me and say, we got this. You know what I mean? I need you to help me with this. Oh, Alemany? That school that I know, that's the only school I really knew growing up from the Valley. Oh, okay. Mission League. And then you really got, okay, let's go do it then. Yeah. So, but I didn't ask. I just told my wife when we moved out there, here, I want to coach her in high school, somewhere a good tradition.
Yep.
And I want to be in the mix and help, like you said, like, so I know where she can be. And I know, if I push the buttons and do the little tweaks in there, she could hit where she wants.
Yeah.
So Alemany, so there with those girls, and it's like something you didn't know. Like, last couple of years, I've been just in the dungeon, I call it, creating building my Frankensteins, and didn't really come out. Haven't really came out for no fresh air with nobody else. So this right here has been cool, like. Yeah. Taking a little break, not a break, getting to spread refresh. Some knowledge, refresh, and it being cool to get the knowledge on these girls and they love and respect what I got to offer, and they treat me right, so it's cool. Like, and you have to really know how to coach messing with the girls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they want basketball. Guidance, they want to teach, they want to know basketball. Yeah. Even talking about bumping the zone, I have to really, like, no, you have to tell me why we have to bump. Like, I want to bump right here, but you tell me why we have to bump right here. Like, you have to explain to me. If you can't explain, you're done with the girl.
Yeah.
Then it's over. So you have to know your basketball. So it's fun because I love basketball. I could talk hoop all day.
Yeah.
So it's cool. So that's where we are now, and that's the journey. God put me right there. Like I said, I didn't ask for it. Didn't ask to come back out this way to the valley where I'm at. But this is where I need to be for everything, for the whole story to unfold for my family. You know, so it's cool. Like, it's like if everybody took a glimpse in the family, one, you know, they're like, oh, that's a little different people. Like, let me bring my kid to you. Nah, you don't want to be in this. You don't want to be in the mix with my daughters. Like, they take this a little bit different. Like I think my daughter, she finally got a phone last year, like, because she was in middle school. So
yeah,
she finally been on the phone like that, like, seventh grade.
Still,
like,
but she's still a hooper. She in the gym more than the boys who are serious about basketball, at least in my program. And she is easily one of the most competitive. Like, she don't back down from nobody. And that just the mindset, it's all about this. And don't care about nothing else. And
she like, Daddy, I'm at the school. Like, she showing me stuff. Like, these are the best two kids in the whole damn near country. On the team, I mean, at the school, I said, oh, yeah, I know you playing against them dogs. So that's why they really couldn't go. But today I'm going to do this. Like, you know, so it's like plotting out so you can figure it out and get better. Like, right now I'm right here ranked. I could be here. Like, you know, so she just love it. So that's all I can ask for. I told him a long time ago, like, if you want to be a dentist, doctor, play soccer. She's great. She's great in soccer. Like, that was the first sport I put her in. Mm-hmm. I'll help you. I'll find the right people. But if you choose this basketball, I know the path the whole way. Like, I know it. Yeah. And I can help guide you, and you can use me. You can squeeze me, use me, you know, to all the juices out. And that's why I can't have no team right now. And answer your question before with the Navigate, it would be too hard for, because, like, it goes back to even with, like, Tony in his pre-draft, or Tony in college, or Kawhi when I had him going to Matt Bradley, you mentioned him real quick, like, once I get a kid, we get a kid, me and my boy A1 or whoever, you know, working, it's locked in.
Yeah.
It's no.
Yeah.
It's making, helping make that person go. Or it's, and that kid happens to be the one that wants to spend all the time in the gym. Right. Or the conversation doesn't work. Like, I can't work out kids a lot right now because they only want to go twice a week, once a week. That, so now when you're sorry in your games, you're about to blame me. Or you don't know how to do stuff. You don't blame me because you either don't want to, like, you don't have to come see me every day, week, but what's shown, what's told you should be doing every day. Just like you go to school every day, you should be working out every day. Just like you go to the bathroom every day, you should be playing basketball every day. You play video games every day.
Right. Yep.
So.
Nah. Man, thank you for sharing your journey, man. I hope it gives a glimpse into the things that you have done. I mean, there's so much more. Yeah, man, thanks for coming on here and sharing, man. We're gonna hop into these other segments real quick. The next is Fix the Net. So, a misconception about you or about basketball that you want to make straight. So, let us know what that is, what the truth is, and then get your bucket.
Misconception about me is that I really care about how much money or what happens to these kids that I help as far as the monetary part. Mm. But it really is just because God put me here to help.
Yeah.
And there's nothing else but that.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm a smash on that one.
Hey, I ain't seen you dunk in like 10 years, so that's what's up.
My Achilles is hurt because I try to come out and disrespect the game. Came out. It was Daniel, your fault, but not your fault.
whoa.
I came and played with you that day without working out, playing. And I played pretty good.
You dropped 30.
So then I'm like, whoa, okay. This is pretty easy still. But I ain't did no stretching. I ain't did no lifting. I ain't did no running. I ain't shot no jumpers on the side. Nothing. So then I did that again the next 2 weeks later after being a regular man all weekend. Try to go on a Monday night and do that and shot a jumper and popped the Achilles. And that's what I tell you, can't disrespect the game.
You gotta put the work. No matter how
old you are.
Oh, man. Next is my Rushmore. All right, so top four ballers to come from the IE.
IE or River, IE period? So we talking about, right? Okay.
I'm going IE, yep.
Four?
Top four. High school.
Yeah.
Who made the impact in high school?
Reggie Miller. Okay. Ed Gray. Ed Gray, number one. Period.
I don't even know about Ed Gray.
Ed Gray was called North, Riverside North. It's called Ed Gray. I never saw Reggie, so.
No, here you go. People you've seen.
Yeah. I'm going with Ed.
Okay.
Myself.
Thank you. Okay.
That's like, I'm not.
No, I love
myself,
it.
Period. Kawhi. And the young boy, I gotta go with the young boy. He's not Andre McGee. I gotta go with McGee.
Andre McGee was nice.
Gotta go with McGee. There's a lot of them out there. Some people might be mad at me, but that boy was something different.
Andre McGee was nice. I forgot about Andre. I did. Okay. My four, you, Sean Marshall. Light skin power.
Yeah, light skin power. Dog. Yeah, that's y'all about dog, the same man. Color.
I'm gonna have to go Darren Collinson.
Yeah.
Because I experienced it in person, and it wasn't fun. That man gave us 34. Him and David Carter was nice.
That was a nice team.
Yeah.
Nice
team. And then, man, I'm gonna have to go Jamal Williams, man.
That's a good
my
one.
My God, Jamal
Williams. Oh, Jamal Williams. Jamal, that was a good one. With Corona. It, man. If it wasn't for him, wouldn't be no Corona.
Man, yep.
But he had a partner, though, that was.
Sabismus. The Sabismus.
Forget
who
about,
you talking about.
Sabismus. That's my. I've known him since we was elementary, since we were third, fourth. We used to play on little teams in La Sierra Park and all that together.
Okay.
Sabismus. But the guard.
J.R. Reese. Woo! J.R. was cold.
He was on that team with us too for a little bit. Like,
J.R. Reese, right.
He's over there, one of those ones you like, he might be, hey.
Yeah, no, like, J.R. was nice.
J.R. was nice. He won the Corona. Yeah, he's nice. So, yeah.
Man, what happened to him?
I don't know. It's a good question.
I know Jamal. Jamal's coaching in college.
Yeah, Jamal coaching in college. I didn't.
And his little brothers with Compton Magic and doing high school.
He ran him too. You know, I talked to him here and there. Dude, he's good friends with my partner, A1.
Okay.
So,
I gotta find out what happened to J.R. Reese, dog. That's my journey. I'm gonna find that out. Somebody, let me know.
And then, and Carlin Brown somewhere on that list, but.
Yeah. Dang. Yeah, some peeps from me.
Some peeps?
Some peeps from
me. Some good blues, you know.
Shout out my guy, Tim Denson.
Oh, Tim. Tim.
My guy, too. And, Man, do you remember Deion Simpson?
Yeah, I remember Deion Simpson.
And then he kind of fizzled out after his sophomore year.
Yeah, he was ahead of the game. Yeah. That one kid from y'all, he ended up going far, though. He's far. He did good, though, from out there. Stanford.
Anthony Goods,
I never really got to see him.
I went to school,
and I never got to see him, everybody was
ball,
like,
man.
And he was one of the first ones to really work. I could tell he had the workout, the workout game, like he. Mm-hmm. What they want, like that's what.
Running half of Swish Cultures or a third of Swish Cultures. His thing.
Yeah, that's what I heard. He's doing something like that.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's what's up. Now everybody, that's what I say. The people in that area, everybody's doing okay. They did all right.
Yeah. No, for sure. And this is where we flip the script, man. Two questions for me. Could be about anything in the world.
You got kids?
I do.
Are you going to push the envelope with sports, or are you going to let them figure out what it is?
All right. So with my daughter, I just want her to be in shape. I've already made her crazy athletic. She could jump high. She gymnast stuff all over the house. My thing is she has to be in a sport. I don't care what she does. Now, if she chooses basketball, she has to know that I'm going to be a part of that. And I'm going to be a coach and a trainer, plus dad. And so I'm giving that time. Like I said, I didn't start playing until I was 11. I was 11. I got pretty good. So my whole goal is to just make her athletic right now.
Yeah.
So as long as she's doing something to stay in shape, I'm pushing physical fitness. My son, he's only three right now, and he's he's developed slower than the average, like my daughter did. Oh, and good. So, but the ball's in his hand. I don't know if he has a choice. And I'm not like pushing him to the point where I'm like, oh, you're going to do this or, you know, there's consequences. I'm just keeping him in the environment.
Yeah.
He's in the gym with me. We have the hoop in the house. I'm watching basketball. I'm constantly putting basketball in his hands. And so when he walks in the gym, he asks for a jersey. When he walks in the gym, I need a jersey. And he literally has tried to run on the court while the game is happening. Almost every Korean is over there, like every single time, tries to run on the court. Like, so it's in him. And that was my, I said, thank God for this son. He's going to be an all-star point guard. First two things I said to him. And so he's, Rashad Phillips, did you know Rashad Phillips went to Detroit?
I heard of him. He put buckets up.
Yes.
I don't know him personally, but I heard of him.
He told me one time, he said, who are you not to give your daughter, this is when I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to push my daughter to hoop, the greatest gift that you can give to anybody. Yes. Like, this is what you do. This is your gift, is to teach this game. How can you not give that to your kids?
That was my point in even asking, because a lot of dudes, I'm not really worried about her. Like, she'll figure it out. And then get 13, 14, it's
too late.
It's too late.
No, she's in the clinic. So I'm not a believer in all these games. Like, they want to do the little bitty ball league where these kids is traveling. I'm like, no, we can do these clinics, and you're going to be around basketball people doing basketball things. But gymnastics is good because they're going to make you strong. Soccer is good for your footwork.
And it's competition.
Swimming is good for your cardio. Like, let's get all this. And then when you tell me, like, sometimes she just picks up the ball, and I'm like, you want daddy to help? Yes. All right. Yes. Thank God.
Yeah. Yes. My rule was you can't play. We're not playing the bitty games until you can shoot on the big courts.
Then
you can play with the third, and you can play with the big court people. And then we play 1 year with the little courts, play 1 year with the and if you show that you're the kid that, pass the ball to my kid now, why she always got to shoot it, then that means you're ready to go to these big courts.
Yeah.
But it's only 1 year in the bitty courts, and you like at the, you know, the tail end of it, not the bitty ones. It's 1 year with the, well, there's eight, maybe one, but I learned you can really even skip that. And then that 10, when they can play 10, then that's when you can run around a little bit.
It's go time.
But like you said, like, you don't need to even play all the time. Like,
it's
a couple games, just run around, see you like it. And
we're going to get in the gym and get to work.
You go get the gym and go to work. Like, even now, Kylie in eighth grade, she probably plays the least amount of games out of all the kids in the little circuit. Like, we didn't play till the May hoop start, whatever that was.
Right.
She didn't play all fall.
I love it. I'm saving them legs, man. Second question.
How far can you take this basketball? How far do you want to take it?
Which part?
Like, you have the pot, you have this, you have school, you have train people. Like, how far does this go?
My goal is to be a big influence on this culture. I believe I have the right heart, I have the right intention, and I'm willing to learn anything to help other people. And that's my whole goal. And all of it at the end of the day is to use basketball as a tool to help people to get to their dream. And like, I help people who don't play basketball just by doing basketball things, right? I put other people in positions to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've been able to get, like, and shout out to Chris Johnson for trusting me. Like, I've been able to get guys who don't know what they're doing with their life but love basketball. And I'm like, man, why don't you just become a basketball trainer? And I'm able to give them what I got, but then Chris brings them in and shows them everything as a real NBA. Like, that's Chris's, like, that's what Chris does. And he takes them in, and they got to commit. It's a grind, but those guys are traveling to different countries and doing different things. Like, they're building their careers. So, like, I want to use every resource I have. That's why I'm telling people, like, yo, you want some work, go train with Marvin. I just want to connect people so they can have the best opportunity to be successful with this game, whatever that looks like.
Yeah.
Karina is producer is the word for D-Wade's thing? Is that the right word? Production manager, producer for D-Wade's podcast. Mm. Like, and it started in here. We started this podcast. She had no experience with any of this.
Mm-hmm.
But the tools that she got, now look at where she's at. You know what I mean?
That's what
she's Chris Johnson's videographer. Like, it's not, and she, now, you know, she liked basketball. I don't think she probably loves it a little bit now. But that wasn't her thing. It's like, she's an artist, like she's a creative. But through basketball, she's able to live out her dream because I'm connected to basketball. And I'm not like saying I did that. No, she did that. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, I want to be that plug to anything that people need in basketball. And that's what I mean by influence. Is like, that's why I have people sit in this chair. It's because I want to know everybody who does something in basketball in a positive way and doing it the right way. I rarely have bums sitting in this chair. I've had a couple. But it's okay, because I want to encourage them to not be bums too. So, I want to. That's it, man. I want to take this as far as I can go. Now, there's certain aspects of basketball I just want to be done with. Yeah. I ain't gonna lie.
Like what?
Like the AAU stuff.
Yes.
It's really tough for me, man. I haven't been in. I had a little team maybe 5 or 6 years ago that we did, and it was cool because I just did practice. I didn't have to do the games. I help out with a little club program now because the practice and the ability to teach, like I want to keep my teaching up. Yeah. But AAU, it has turned into this money grab monster that doesn't really develop kids and is going to be the death of American basketball if we don't change the big. There's some small things that happen that are great.
Yeah.
There's some AAU teams and coaches and things that are doing great things. It's not
that's the
a
only
blanket
thing,
statement,
that's
the but
only
the majority of it
yes.
is terrible. And people have commercialized and monetized basketball. Man, it started with N1. It's crazy. It started with N1 when you watch the documentary. People stopped getting paid like what they were supposed
to.
Say,
this wasn't about that.
It was hoop.
It's hoop.
And now with NIL and, man, all this stuff is happening. But how do we keep basketball pure?
Pure.
I want to keep this thing as pure as possible by developing kids, showing them how to live, right? Showing them a lifestyle through basketball.
Through basketball.
Working hard, creating teammates and networking, all that kind of stuff. And so I want to be a lifeblood to basketball in the USA, however that look. I could do it here just in the valley, and God used me in different ways to in bigger spaces. I'm here for it. I want to influence this to look like it's supposed to look, man.
That's what I want to hear, because it's, you know, people lose sight of all that. It's basketball, like I said. People, Big Mac ain't changed their menu.
Nah,
even the McRib come back.
Basketball is in my vows for my marriage. It's been a part of my life since that one day where I went to that tryout, it'll never go anywhere. It's gonna be a part of what I do because it's meant so much to me and it's carried me through countless things. That's my therapy, man. I have to hoop. I have to be on the court somewhere. I just literally go. I remember it was times. During COVID, I would literally just go to Heritage's gym and just sit in the gym. I would just sit there because it's like, oh, this is my peace. Like, I need this. Like, I just need to be on this court. My sanctuary.
I know. So no, that's good. That's good. The game's gonna be in it. I know personally, I'm gonna say thank you. You did a lot. You've been doing a lot with my daughter. Just the platform, the people around her, the kids and all that stuff is, you know, shoot, great experience. She went from someone like from Riverside, both of my kids uprooted them without even knowing what's going on to, oh man, this is the life is pretty good out here. Like this is pretty cool. So no problems and all because of that basketball. So something I got to see at 18, 19 for the first time, they seeing at 10, 12, whatever, so. Thank you a lot for that. So it's cool. So you just gotta keep it going as a culture and make sure.
That's it, man. We gotta connect with the right people. Gotta stay connected. We gotta work together, and we have to change. We have to make a change and not support the things that are killing the game. That's the biggest issue. Is that we sit here and talk about, oh, this tournament, this dude is gouging us for prices, and we doing all this, but you still showing up.
Still showing up
because you want the clout. You want. Nah, man, let's do something different. Let's change this game.
We're
working on it.
I try to tell parents the same thing.
It's coming.
And they be like, why can't I do this? Because I'm not paying, no offense to people, I'm not going to pay his rent, keep paying their rent or paying that person. Like, yep. This is just, it's nothing. What are we going to benefit? What is your kid going to benefit from that? Like, you better off having the same kids just going to the park and opening up and playing, let them play. But what are they going to benefit from this? So if you can't show any benefits from it, what are we doing it for? All right. So that's why my, you know, the younger one, she probably, I have her play one game to come out. Don't even, she barely plays AAU stuff right now. Like, yep. She's
cold.
She's gonna be so, yeah, you see.
LaMelo ball, like you said, got the LaMelo ball, yep.
Yeah.
No, man. So 24 second shot clock, 24 seconds. Just let the people, any message that you have for them and where they can find you on social media or anything you wanna say in that camera right there.
Thanks for having me. Marvin Lee, you can find me. EliteSports@gmail.com. Well, that's or the Elite Sports is everything. ELEATE Sports. You can find that on the Instagram. I peek at it from time to time. That's on there, and you can probably find a phone number from there. And you can check out Kyla underscore Lee LEA on Instagram. That's our bread and butter right now. And then her sister, whatever she does, her sister's gonna come after. So the story's already written. We just living in it.
Appreciate you, brother. Yes, sir. That's all we have for you today, folks. We'll see you next time. Peace.